And if we'd open our Bibles this morning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 1 through verse 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the parousia, that word coming there is the parousia of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter, as if it was from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, before we read our next verse of Scripture, we know by now that the Scripture gives us a telltale signs of the parousia, or presence of Christ, is that there is to be a falling away at that time. Now, we must ask ourselves, a falling away from what? And the answer is plainly given in Scripture as a falling away from the truth. And so we find in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart," that means to fall away, "from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we do believe with all that lays within us that we are in the end time, and that, Father, we do see the falling away universally around the world, the falling away from the truth. Many consider church to be just a place, a social event, a place where they can come and a place where they can listen to music, a place where they can fellowship, but they don't want the Word. And yet, Father, we know that without your Word, we are robbed of many spiritual blessings. In fact, there is no way out for us if we do not lay ourselves before your great Word and before this great shout which you have come in this day. And so, Father, knowing that you yourself have come to declare a message, help us, Father, within our soul, within our being, Father, to come to a place of understanding, knowing that we can have a mental understanding and that won't even, as the Bible says, what man by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature. And having only a mental understanding, Father, it'll do us no good. But Father, we pray that your divine presence would bring forth an understanding that's based on reality, that the Scripture to us has become real. And so, Father, with these thoughts in mind, we ask your blessings upon this word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart. That means to fall away. And not only to fall away, but the fact that a departure means that it's kind of a self-willed falling away. And Brother Branham said, from taking the whole armor of God, paragraph 64, he says, "So today these great intellectual spies are too much for the poor, humble children of God." Now Jude said in the book of Jude, the last of Jude there, he said that they have creeped in among us. They've creeped in. That's what's causing to go out in these big tantrums that they've done. They've creeped in among us. Men foreordained to this condemnation creeped in among us, drawing us away from the Word, causing us to lose faith in the Word, wandering spots, ships without sails. The rushing wind could blow, and they just got an old dead organizational pole standing there going, "Days of miracles is past. No such a thing as divine healing." But if you've got a real spiritual sail setting up there, the Spirit picks it up, and away across she goes into the hands that they know nothing about. That's right. Or into the lands, that they know nothing about. That's right. Yes, causing you to lose faith in the Word by their polished up seminary experience. And this is what we're going to be talking about this morning. This is benefits number 36 in our series, Understanding the Falling Away from the Faith, or the subtitle, Why People Are Losing Their Faith. I believe people are losing their faith because they've lost a reality of the presence of God. Church has become a form. It's become a thing to do. It's become a social event instead of a reality of the living God in their midst. You see, according to what Brother Branham is telling us, that the falling away, these that are falling away have no discernment of the Word. Let's read some other scriptures about this falling away from the faith. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4, "For it is impossible for those who were once for all enlightened," that's this hour, the once for all enlightenment, "and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers," that means companions of the Holy Ghost, "and have tasted the good word of God," that's the shout, which is the message, "and the powers of the world to come," that's all those miracles that we've seen in this hour. "Having fallen away from all of this, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance," which is a change of the mind, "seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." And haven't they done just that by making him his own father? Yes, they have crucified him. They said, "Away with him, away with him." And they have cast aside the Son of God and accepted a Unitarian message instead, just like the Jews, just like the Muslims. All Unitarianism. From the indictment, Brother Bram said, "Now, is that my word or his?" And he had just read Hebrews 6. He said, "If a man who comes to the knowledge," and remember, they never got it. They were borderline believers. After we have received the knowledge of the Word of God, you get it from a knowledge, from reading it, seeing it, and then reject it, then it's impossible for you to ever be saved. Did you read that now? See? "Have received a knowledge of the truth." Just you understand it, but you never got it. In other words, you heard it, but you never understood it. That's why in Matthew 13 they said, "Why do you speak in parables?" He said, "For it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given, lest I should have to heal them." You see? In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Tell us a story, Brother Branham. Tell us a parable, Jesus. Tell us a story, Brother Branham. We like to hear about the things, the miracles, and all these things, but when it comes to the Word of God, which corrects, when it comes to the Word of God, which the doctrine of Christ, which separates us from unbelief, which matures us and brings forth the image of the stature of the fullness of Christ, well, you know, that's just a little bit too tough for us. Just tell us a story, Brother Branham. Let me read that again. "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women," that's churches, "laden with sin," that's unbelief, "led away with diverse lusts." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." And Acts 20 and verse 30, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." And 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 1 to 2, and this is from the NIV, "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies." And what are these destructive heresies? Notice, "even denying," that means that they will say no to the sovereign Lord who bought them, "bringing swift destruction on themselves. And many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up, and their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping." So we are told and prophesied here in the Scripture that in the end time, as there were false prophets in the days of old, so shall there be false teachers come in among us, and will introduce secretly among us destructive heresies, even denying the one who bought them. Now the purchase price was the Son of God. And so they deny the blood. Oh, they talk about the blood. But you see, if you don't walk in the light as he is in the light, you have no blood. And that's what they're denying, is the light. Let's come together. Let's have a social. Let's have music. Let's have song. Let's talk about what God did 30 years ago and not what God is doing right now. Brother Vail, when he read this verse in the series on the rapture. He said, now watch, 2 Peter 2. But there were false prophets among the people. Jesus said the same thing. They're coming anointed to power like Balaam, but off of the word. Even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. In other words, they have their own revelations. From the time the prophet comes on the scene, they will tell you no way about the rapture. They will tell you no way about revelation, even denying the Lord that bought them. And what does that word deny? It means to refuse, just like in Hebrews 6. And they brought upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. That's bloodless ways. Certainly, there is no blood. You get outside the light, where is the blood? You find me where the blood is outside the light. Now, come on. I'm quoting Scripture. John chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. Many shall follow their bloodless ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. And the word feigned means pretentious words, made up words. Like two souls. Like seven thunders. Like all these false doctrines that are permeating everywhere. Like the pastor is, or, you know, he's your spiritual husband. Brother Bram never said he was. Never said he was. He said, in type. He said, Lot's wife had no revelation. She was just following a man. And then Brother Bram off to the side, he said, the pastor is the husband spiritually speaking. In other words, making a type of people just following a man without personal revelation. You see, you'll never make it in on the coattail of a pastor. You'll make it in because you have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't ever follow a man. Because when you begin to look to the man, God will do something to the man to make you not look to the man anymore. So you see, they have worked themselves right into this message, and they've caused others to fall for their doctrines that deny the Lord that bought them. Now, as I noted earlier in the scripture, the word depart was translated from the Greek word, which also was translated in Luke chapter 8 and verse 13. Here we find the scripture tells us, they on the rock are they which when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root. In other words, there's no germ, there's no life germ, there's no seed there, which for a while believe. But in times of testing, they fall away. So you see, this falling away or departing is something that they do themselves. The Greek word actually means to withdraw oneself. And that means that no one is responsible for their falling away, but they themselves who do choose to depart. We live in a society today where no one wants to take the blame for any of their actions. And yet you will be held accountable for all of your actions. So it's time to fess up. It's time to apply the blood once more. And the only way you can apply the blood is not say, well, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? But it's to walk in the light as He is in the light. Then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all your sin, all your unbelief, all your shortcomings. From discerning the body of the Lord, Brother Branham said, Paul promised that in the last day by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, that the church would fall away, millions of them. They're coming a falling away, for men will be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and despisers of those that are good. Not the right discernment. Oh, you say, that is the communist. That is the so-called Christian. Watch the next verse. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And did you know the word godliness means God-likeness? Having a form of God-likeness. In other words, they called them Christians because they were like Christ. But denying the power thereof, no spiritual discernment. When you got spiritual discernment and the Holy Ghost is upon you, you have spiritual discernment. And it says, amen to every promise of God. Now, in 23 years plus of pastoring, I've heard about every excuse possible for those that eventually leave and go their way. And I remember a pastor telling me about a family years ago that came to his church only a handful of times. And then they decided to go their way, or the way of Satan, And that family eventually went heavily into sin and darkness and adulteries and you name it. But when they finally saw the ruination of their children, they came back and said it was all the pastor's fault because he did not come running after them and beg them to come back to church, even though they had only been to church maybe half a dozen times. Now, you might think that sounds incredulous, but that's what was told to that pastor. Now, the wise virgin did not chase after the foolish virgin and take their own oil and give it to them. She had only enough oil for herself. And so they told the foolish virgin where they got theirs. And they told them that they've got to go and get their own. And you know, that is where I think we all need to smarten up. I know I need to smarten up. I try to get this doctrine out to the world because it is supposed to smarten us up and to mature us. Yes, the doctrine of Christ is to bring us to maturity so we understand our position in the family of God. But you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You hold his head down in the water and try to force him to drink and he'll kick you. The Apostle Paul told us the role of the fivefold ministry is simply just to lay out the word. A pastor cannot give you revelation. A prophet cannot give you revelation. An evangelist cannot give you revelation. An apostle cannot give you revelation. They can teach you the word, and then it's up to God to anoint that word in your mind and drop it down into your soul. And once God anoints that word in your mind and drops it into your soul, then no one can take it from you. Now in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, Paul tells us exactly the role of the fivefold ministry. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Well, what does that mean? It means for the maturing of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. So how long are we supposed to do that for? He says, until we all come in the unity of faith. Is that what he says? There's a word missing there. He said, of the faith. Now, he did not say until we all come in a unity of faith, but he said, until we all come into the unity of the faith. Because that same apostle, just a few verses earlier, said there's only one faith and one Lord. Therefore, that faith is the faith of that one Lord. Until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Well, until the knowledge of the Son of God and the difference between the Father and the Son is understood, there's got to be a fivefold ministry out there teaching. Now, how are we going to come to the unity of the faith if we have no knowledge of the Son of God? You can't have a unity of the faith if you have any other faith than what Jesus, the Son of God, had himself. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, Paul says, and we found in him, and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. You realize justification is what God did for you. It's having a revelation of what God has done for you. And until you come to him through justification, you can't even be born again. Until you recognize the fact of what was done on Calvary, you're not even on your road to a new birth. You see, you'll be stuck in legalism, stuck under the law, stuck under what I can do for God instead of what he has done for you. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, Paul says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Not your faith in Jesus Christ. That's not what he said here. He said, you're justified by what faith Jesus Christ himself had when he went to that cross, knowing that he would be raised up. He said, Father, my will is that you take this cup from me. But nevertheless, I'm setting my will aside, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ. that God is sovereign and the Son of God is not sovereign. Now, we all know what sovereign means. It means you're completely independent. If you are sovereign, it means no one can tell you what to do. No one can twist your arm. No one's stronger than you. No one is mightier than thou. And there is no nation that is sovereign. For God is God is the God of the world. I mean, he's God over the God of the world. The God of this world is Satan himself. And God's above him. You know, we talk about Iraq was a sovereign nation. They didn't last, their sovereignty didn't keep them from being invaded by the United States. Whoever has the bigger stick, the bigger missile, the bigger bomb is the sovereign nation until someone else comes along with a bigger stick, a bigger bomb, a bigger missile. So there is no one that is sovereign except for God and God alone. And the Son of God was not sovereign because the Son of God said he could do nothing but what the Father showed him first. His doctrine wasn't his, but the Father's that sent him. If he could be sent, then that was a command. And notice also, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, my Father commanded me what to say, and thus I speak. He said, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of him that sent me. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Now, one who is sovereign doesn't learn obedience because there's no one to be obedient to. He's sovereign. He stands alone. And so Paul says, knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Even as we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Now the word of is an acronym. It's a word, it speaks of possession, but it's also an acronym, out from, O-F, out from, the faith out from Jesus Christ. Showing the possession belongs to him. And not by works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Ah, yes. Well, Lord, I'm sorry for the death of your son, but I'll make it up by mowing your grass. I'll make it up by winning a soul to Jesus. I'll make it up by being a good church member. God doesn't work that way. We have got to have the same revelation that his son had. The same revelation Abraham had. The same revelation Job had. Though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. And in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I am. Present tense. It's an ongoing thing. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, it's really not I, but Christ that's living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Not my faith in the Son of God, but I live by his faith, living itself out through me. You see, your faith means absolutely nothing to God, but the faith of his Son, Jesus, means everything to him. Why? Because Jesus' faith is a revelation. And that revelation is of who God is. And even as Jesus said, no man hath seen the Father at any time, but the Son of God hath declared him. That means that without that declaration of the invisible God to the world through the agency of his visible Son, we could not even know who to worship. And so the Apostle Paul tells us that whether we believe or not, it makes no difference to the plan of God. And it can't even affect me or you in any way. It can affect us, but it can't affect the plan of God in any way. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul says, for what if some did not believe? There's your question. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? And so what access we do have to God, we owe it all to the Son of God, who made that way open for us to the Father. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12, we read, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. That's how important faith is. We have no access to God without having Jesus' faith. The faith of him. Jesus himself said, no man can come to the Father except through me. Therefore, this faith, in fact, the faith of Christ, is so important to us that the Apostle Paul said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Not whether you have faith, or whether you be in a faith, but whether you be in the faith. Not just faith, but the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Now, as I said in this, that is the ministry of the fivefold, to bring you to the faith that Jesus had, that you might become a fully mature son or daughter of God. Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some evangelists and teachers, for the perfecting, the maturing of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith, unto a perfect or finished off man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now in Romans 12 and verse 3, Paul tells us that every man is given a measure of faith. But here he is telling us that we are to come to the same measure that Jesus had. In other words, a lesser measure will not do. A lesser measure of faith may get you up to be a Baptist. A lesser measure of faith may even get you up to be a Pentecostal. A lesser measure of faith may even get you up to believe that God sent a prophet in this hour. But it's going to take the full measure of the stature of Christ to get you adopted. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Paul tells us that in Romans 12 and 3 that every man is given a measure of faith. But here he is telling us that we are to come to the same measure that Jesus had. In other words, a lesser measure will not do, but he's speaking of the same measure of faith that Jesus had. He said, until we all come in the unity of the faith unto a perfect or complete or finished off man, unto not a measure, but the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And why is this necessary? Because Paul continues in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. Now with a measure of faith might make you a church member. A measure of faith might make you even a believer in Malachi 4. A measure of faith might get you women to not cut your hair and wear long dresses. It might get you brothers not to cuss. That's a measure of faith. But the measure of faith, the measure of faith, is this, it's the measure, is the measure that Jesus had himself. That's the measure that God took him up and said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. That's the measure of faith that got him adopted. That's the measure of faith that took him out of the grave. And if you don't have that same measure of faith, you won't go in a rapture. God didn't restore the fullness of the word in this hour so that we could have a part of the word. So that we could have a measure of faith. So that we could come as far as justification. Or as far as sanctification. Or as far as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But God came in this hour. The Holy Ghost himself came. To draw you unto himself. To give you his mind. His doxa. Which is his glory. But remember. We read from 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. You see, God wants us to grow up and become mature sons and daughters, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And believe me, at the end time, is a time of deception like no other time on earth. Remember, we just read from 2 Thessalonians, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall come. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. The falling away has got to come, and then that day comes. In fact, Jesus told us himself that the sign of the parousia, his presence, was at that his presence would be at hand, would be marked by deception. In Matthew 24 and verse 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy parousia and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come to you in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And in verse 10, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That's why we can hardly find love amongst the brethren in this hour. There's so much iniquity. There's so much deception. There's so much false doctrine. Everybody's on their defenses. But in verse 24, we're told that it is not possible to deceive the very elect. That is because in John chapter 1 and verse 12, we learn that to them that received him, to them gave he power to become sons. That means that the ones who were able to receive him were those who were given the ability to make a right decision. And without that germ of life in you from God, you could not come to full term as a son of God. Now the Apostle Paul further tells us in Romans chapter 16, verse 17, Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. It seems to me, though, in the message, they're avoiding the doctrine. Don't talk the doctrine, they say. Just have music and you'll get big churches. But notice he says, Mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are of such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches they deceive the hearts of the simple. Now we are not called to be simple. We are called as a wise virgin, if so be that we have the mind of Christ. The Apostle John said in 1 John 2 and verse 21, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. And that is no lie, that no lie is of the truth. But who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Therefore, if you deny that there is a Father and a Son, and try to make Jesus his own Father, this apostle says plainly that you are Antichrist. Because he continues in the next verse, 1 John 2 and verse 23, Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Look, if you make Jesus his own Father, then he wasn't a Son. And if he's not a Son, then God wouldn't be a Father, would he? If God didn't have a Son, he's not a Father. You see, that's why he says that they will bring in privately destructive heresies, even denying the one that bought them. Even in this message, they're doing away with the Son of God. They've done away with it, many. They've gone to a Unitarianism, as Brother Branham said they would. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. And the same apostle says in 2 John 1 and verse 8, Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have worked for, but that we receive a full reward. And so what's the reward that we're looking for? Why is it that he says, Look to yourselves, examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith, that we lose not those things which we have worked for, but that which we would receive a full reward? It is because he is talking about falling away. And that we should be on guard with our own selves that we not fall away. What is that reward that we could lose? It's our glory. Oh yeah. It's our glory, because the glory is the doxa of God. The opinion. It's the assessment. It's the very judgment of God in us. And if we lose our faith, that revelation, or fall away from the faith, then we fall away from the revelation of Jesus Christ. From by faith Moses, Brother Branham said, Now we lose our glory if we lose faith. So there you are. Now we get away from faith, then we take the church into an intellectual realm. And many times it's been thought amongst people that because the congregation was large and that they had great churches and great steeples and a great lot of well-dressed and groomed people and a lot of finances, that they could afford such things many times. We many times thought that that was inspiring, that this certain church must be inspired. Or we've often referred to different ministers who get out on the field and have great gatherings of crowds, and we think sometimes that they are the signs of inspiration. But that's not altogether the truth. That's human inspiration. But the real inspiration comes by doing the will of God. You see? Whether it is a one or just a handful, whether it is a big church or a small church, it matters not. Whether he is a great eloquent speaker or just a man that hardly knows his ABCs, it doesn't matter. It depends on the message that he brings, whether it is inspired by the Word of God or it is inspired by intellectual conceptions of human inspiration. Some people can be inspired because of an eloquent speaker. That doesn't make it right. A lot of people in Germany were inspired by Hitler to go out and turn in Jews. It doesn't matter if you're inspired or not, if your inspiration is wrong. And he said, that doesn't make it right. Sometimes they're inspired because the man is so trained till he could put his point over. That doesn't mean that it's of God. See? Only through God's everlasting, eternal, blessed word can we receive inspiration, and that's given by the Holy Ghost. By faith we receive it. So how does this falling away come then? It comes by turning down the doctrine of Christ. And there's only one doctrine of Christ, and to turn that down, you turn down God himself. Brother Branham said, he said, Jesus Christ is the doctrine. In 2 John, verse 9, we read, whosoever goes beyond the limits, whosoever transgresses, that means to go beyond the limits, and remains not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. And so if you have a doctrine of Christ that teaches that there are two, that there are not two concerning the doctrine of Christ, one who is Father, that one is God, and one who is a Son, the Son, not God the Son, that's Trinitarian, but the Son of God. Then you do not have the doctrine of Christ, and thus you do not have God. You do not echo God, which means that you do not say the same thing that God says about himself. You've got a different revelation. John believed this so strongly that in the next verse he said, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. So it's an evil deed not to have this doctrine. Now we've been talking about the end time falling away from the faith, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now in this parable, Jesus is telling us how this falling away takes place and what circumstances are involved in this falling away. And so we find in Matthew 13 and verse 18, he says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it. Notice that understanding then is the key here. He says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that which was sown into his heart. And now always remember, Brother Branham taught us that whenever you see the word heart used in the scripture, it always refers to understanding. So to understand this passage correctly, to what Brother Branham taught us, we must read it as thus. When anyone hears the message and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that little understanding that he did have. This is the seed sown among the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word, the message, and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, there's no germ seed, gene seed. You see, Brother Brown said, if you didn't have representation up there, you'll never have it here. If you don't have it here, you'll never have it up there. He says he lasts only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Those are those that cannot pass the test. There's always a test involved with your faith. Jesus said, every son that cometh to God must first be tried and tested. Now that is the second kind of person who hears the message. The first kind doesn't get it. And the next one might like what he hears, but because he has no germ seed, he quickly falls away. Now notice in the third kind of person that hears the message, verse 22, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word. He hears the message. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth chokes the word, chokes the message, and it becomes unfruitful. What becomes unfruitful? The message through them. In James 1 and verse 14, but every man that is tested and tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Notice, it's not much of a test, it's not much of a trial if you're not drawn away after it. God will always allow Satan to put you to a test to try to draw you away. He'll offer you things. He'll offer you opportunities that'll keep you from the word. It'll keep you from church. It'll keep you from the hidden manna, the worshiping of God. From seed shall possess the gate, Brother Rand said. Then God was so pleased with complete obedience. God had tried his patriarchs. He had tried his servants. And every son that cometh to God must be what? Tried. Chastened. That's where that many fall away, is because we can't stand that trial. A person comes to the altar in time of a revival, and you watch just a little while, and a hot trials begin to come. Jesus plainly taught it. He said, the sower went forth sowing seed. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell into stony ground and among thorns and thistles. And the others fell over into good ground. And he said, that's the way the word went. It goes out. Some hear the word and they go out. Birds come along, pick it up. See? They don't do no good at all. Others come up overnight. Oh, they're going to do a great things. But when the trial begins to come, it chokes them down. But some goes all the way into good ground, and that brings forth a hundredfold. Now, Jesus' same parable is repeated in the book of Luke. I'd like to read it. This is the meaning of the parable, he says. The seed is the word of God. Verse 12. Those along the path, chapter 8, verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root and believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. There's your testing again. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as long as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, they retain it, and by persevering through the trials, they produce a crop. Not only has the false anointed coming into the message caused some to lose faith, but the fact that God has done so much that the word and the power of God just become so common to the people. So there's basically three elements that can cause people to fall away. The false anointed ones coming in the message, teaching a false doctrine, taking people off after themselves. Number two, the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. And number three, you can let this message become too common to you. Not only has the false anointed coming into the message caused some to lose faith, or the cares of this life have taken people out, but the fact that God has done so much that the word and the power of God just become so common to the people, and they have allowed it to become common to them. And that can become just as great a danger as false doctrine coming in among them. From Jehovah Jireh, Brother Bram said, I'm telling you, Pentecostal people are seeing so much and have through your life since you've become a child of God seen so much of the goodness and mercy and glory of God till it's become too common to you. And it's too common, and that makes you lose faith. We take it for granted. From Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 28, he that despised Moses' law, he died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now the Greek word for despise is a word that means to do away with. He that did away with Moses' law. It also means to set aside. He that set aside Moses' law. That means also to disregard. He that disregarded Moses' law. It also means to thwart the efficacy. It also means to nullify. Let me just read that again. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. And that Greek word for despise is a word that means to do away with, to set aside, to disregard, to thwart the efficacy, to nullify or make void, to frustrate or reject, or to refuse. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought of worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing. And the Greek word there for unholy means a common thing. They treat the covenant of God as though it was just a common thing, and hath done despite, that's insult, by doing so unto the Spirit of grace. Now from the message by faith Moses, Brother Branham said, now if we lose faith, then we will never get a prayer answered by God. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. So if we lose faith, our prayers are annulled, and we go nowhere. So if all that we can think of this morning is to hold on to faith, then if we lose faith, all our hopes are gone. And if we lose faith, all our spiritual reality is gone. For you cannot have faith in things that you see, for the things that you see are perishable. If we look at some great person, or some great minister, or some great congregation, they will all perish someday. And from the ministry explained, he said, when you lose faith, you get out with a bunch of unbelievers, and they say there's nothing in it, and Satan begins to lie to you, then you fall right back down in that category where you was at the first place. And from the third seal, he said, we've been through all of that and showed how that they missed John, how that they missed Elijah, and how that they missed Jesus, and how that they missed them all the way along, and they'll do the same thing because the Bible said they would. See? So then in that time, it'll be very humble. It'll be so simple. That'll make people fall away from it. It's too simple for them. We find out that always when people get smart and educated and know a whole lot, then that's just the kind that misses it. You know that, see? And from the ever-present water from the rock. So then, that process of time, there's where the great falling away come in Israel. When this great crowding in time, then the people began to fall away from one side to the other. And as I understand it, Perry Green mentioned at Sister Vale's funeral that at that time, there's now 2 million people following the message around the world. I think it's interesting, there was 2 million people that left Egypt as well. And how many of them made it in? Joshua and Caleb. And then those that were under 20 at the time of Kadesh Barnea. But notice, Brother Bram says, then the people began to fall away from one side to the other. Then in their chatting, well, we wish we were back down in Egypt. Our souls loatheth this light bread. In other words, if I take it historically now, that's what they said. Now, in the modern day, it would be said, oh, every Wednesday night prayer meeting, every Sunday morning back to church, what do we hear? The same thing. The preacher stand up and preach songs and go on back, see? Then you're just going as a line of duty, and you're not a worshiper. A worshiper goes there to worship, to express himself before his God, to praise his God for his goodness, to every word he hangs on it. So the manna that the people loathed in that day is the word that's being taught in this day. The Wednesday nights, the Sundays, and Wednesday nights and Sundays. And to some people, it begins to be a drone and a drone and a drone. But the true worshiper, he comes looking forward with great expectation to meet with God, to meet his Maker. And from the everlasting life, Brother Ram said, you can have optical illusions and things that look like it is when it's not, see? But when the picture of that, and it could be psychologically, and you could say, you see there, and you just keep saying, yes, I believe it. And believe it so much until it actually, you think that you see it when you actually don't. See? That's right. But that's psychology. But, and it has just got you so mentally pressed towards it until you just imagine it. So, imagine it, you so imagine it so much until it becomes a reality to you. You just imagine somebody hates you once, and they don't hate you, but you imagine that they do, and you just keep thinking it. Oh, they don't like me. And the first thing, you'll be shunning that person when they haven't done nothing to you. And after a while, it becomes so a reality to you till you actually believe that that person doesn't like you. And you might bawl them out or something to you. For instance, your wife or your husband or some neighbor or something like that. When the person is absolutely innocent of any ill thing. It's because that you just imagine it till it becomes a reality to you. Now you see what I mean. I've seen people fall away because of that. You know, there used to be, in 1982, the hit song in the Southern Gospel was, "Excuses, Excuses, I Hear Them Every Day." How many of you ever heard that song? It talked about, you know, just all these different excuses to keep people out of church. And like one woman said, well, he didn't even shake my hand. You know, that was an excuse. You know, people get offended. People get hurt. Why? Brother Brown said, they imagine it. And from Hebrews chapter 6, he said, for if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, and remember, sin is unbelief, but after that you've once born, that you have the truth, not the knowledge of it, but you have accepted the truth, and it becomes a reality, and you're a child of God for time and eternity. You see, that's the whole thing we're talking about this morning. How could you possibly fall or lose faith if the Word is a reality to you? But to those that it's not a reality, there's many things that can cause you to lose faith. A preacher could cause you to lose faith. Preaching false doctrine. Someone in the pew could cause you to lose faith. Because maybe they are having a hard time, maybe they're going through a trial, and they didn't smile at you, they didn't shake your hand. They didn't make your friendship cake. It causes you to have an anxiety toward them. And you open yourself up for a devil to speak to you. From the law, having a shadow, the law having a shadow, Brother Bram said, the Bible said it is impossible for that man to do that. It said, if a man once has been enlightened and made partaker of the Holy Ghost and tasted of the power of God and the world to come, it's impossible for him to fall away, to renew himself again under repentance. So if you're just constantly up and down, remember, brother, you have never correctly come to Jesus Christ yet. And from the greatest battle ever fought, he said, it must be accepted in the mind, then it's believed with the heart, then the Word of God becomes a reality. Then every sense of soul and body is just scoured out with the Holy Ghost. Then your sense of God, your conscience of God, everything that's godly flows through you. There is not a doubt anywhere. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Your gracious Father, we once again thank you, Lord, for your Word this morning. We pray, Father, that you would help us never to lose faith. But Father, may your Word become such a reality that you burn it into our soul. And may your holy presence, your Holy Spirit, Lord, so live within us. May that germ of life that you ordained before the foundations of the world be quickened with your own life, Father, that the God life that was in you is in us also. That God life which you gave to your Son, John 5:26, may that God life be in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so, Father, we just pray that we would walk and live and abide in thee. May we walk in the light as you are in that light. And may the fellowship of Jesus Christ be one with another, and our fellowship be with thee, Father, for we ask it in Jesus' name, knowing that as we walk in the light, the blood is cleansing, cleansing, cleansing. May we also see it cleansing our brothers. In Jesus' name we pray.